Started on me. Damn. I'd like to welcome everybody to the November meeting of the Upper Trinity Groundwater Conservation District. We're meeting here in our offices in Springtown, as well as online. Those who are watching online, if you have a comment or question regarding one of the items on the agenda, if you'll hit the chat function, Doug will let me know when we get to that, that you wish to speak. Director Watts, would you call roll, please, sir?
Jared Reynolds.
Here.
Bob Lusk.
Here.
Shannon Nave.
Here.
Tim Watts. Here. Don Micah.
Here.
Brent Wilson. Mike Berkeley.
Here.
Tracy Messler.
Here. We do have a quorum. If everybody please stand and join me in the Pledge of the Flags. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state under God, one and indivisible. And show the public hearing is opening at 5:02. Receive public comment and request to contest and general manager's report and recommendations regarding the following applications for permits, permit amendments, and a request for exceptions to the district's water well spacing or minimum track size requirements. This is a continuation of a hearing from last month on applications related to permit IDs 007-W-OP-011-H-OP and 014-P-OP submitted by Aqua Texas. Doug?
Sir, we went over these in September when we had a big slew of operating permits from Aqua, and these are the three that were tabled. I'll go through a little bit on each of them here in a second. These three were, the wells were located outside the CCN. So the first one, 007W, it's in Wise County. The issue here is, you can see here's the CCN from the, let me turn on my laser pointer. Here. This is the CCN as the PUC has it drawn in. The well's over here. There's a map that Aqua provided us. Matt sent me the other day showing again the CCN boundary. They're well over here, but they've got their blue. The blue line is their water lines. The yellow triangles are their meters. Tracy, as I was showing you earlier, it's clear that, in my opinion, right? This, you can look at this corner and it matches with that. Take this down to here. It got drawn in wrong. Nothing's been provided. We don't have anything to show that. I talked to Matt the other day and I was like, if we have a copy of the original plat from Wise County showing the actual boundary of the subdivision, that would be helpful. But as of right now, we still don't have anything that shows that the well is within the CCN or the service area. So that's kind of where we are on that one.
And as you told me earlier, Doug, where the well location is, they have a lease that if the,
I believe y'all have a lease or just an easement on this one. Easement on this one. But I think if it was shifted down to where it should be in the CCN. And I think I'd like to see a plat, the original plat, because I'm guessing it's probably follows these areas that are served. And I'd have to talk to Brian, but I think that would probably go a long way to help us. The other one's 011H. It's in Hood County. This one, I think, you know, if the board so chooses, I think we can take action on this one. The green area is the CCN, the well, and you can't zoomed out far enough. I mean, what is it, like 10, 15 feet outside the CCN? It's close. But what they did provide was not just a sanitary control easement, but they actually have a 50-by-50 lease, not just an easement, but a lease for the well yard. And that 50-by-50 lease is in fact contiguous with the CCN. So this one, if the board chooses, we can take action on it tonight, or we can, you know, continue it. And then system 14P. This one is interesting. Again, wells are outside the CCN, the green areas of CCN, the map they provided. They've got an easement that comes down doesn't quite touch. I think this is shifted north. But in talking with Brian, an easement, I don't know if sufficient. Brian may want to weigh in on this. But that's why the lease was so important. And that's why I'd ask again, make sure y'all had the lease agreement on the previous one. So this one we can't really do anything on right now either based on the information we have. Like I said, if you want to take action, I feel comfortable with this one that we have enough information. My only hang up was, before we did, I did want to clarify the request from Aqua. I didn't know if it was still, because it changed once, I think, early on, and I didn't know if that was still a valid request or if y'all wanted to, if that was still what y'all were looking for. So that's where we are on those. Again, we think we've got information to take action on one of them, or we can continue all of them till next month. Happy to answer any questions.
And next month, what are we going to be able to obtain next month?
Well, I mean, we're not going to obtain anything. It's their
information.
Right. So I think this one, I don't know what they could provide to show, to be able to get additional allocation. This one, I think if we could get a copy of the plat, I think that would show that. And again, Brian may want to weigh in on this, but I think a plat would show that the actual boundary of the subdivision is really, in fact, down here.
Boundary of the CCN.
Right. Or that's where it should be, right? Because I'm the boundary of the – if you come in and the subdivision is the same shape, it's just shifted down, I think you can make a valid argument that that's the PUC or the Texas TCEQ or whoever originally drew this CCN in – you know, did it incorrectly or did it under a different projection. And so it just under current satellite imagery, it just shifts it.
The one that we can take action on just has the lease, that one.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't take action and that is in danger of going over and violating.
No, I mean, we still got next month.
But so it's not in danger.
No, we could still take action next month. And that was one thing I wanted to clarify with them. The actual requested volumes.
Okay. On the 11H, we can take action on it and go ahead and clear it off.
We could. Again, I said, I mean, it's up to you guys. I don't have the, I think they'd requested just about a half million gallons, and I didn't know if that was still what they were looking for or if they felt they might need more because that was submitted several months ago, and as you know, this end of this year was pretty hot and heavy for water use, so I didn't know if they may want to reconsider that.
Have you reviewed the pumping on those recently to see if you're in danger of exceeding that? Might as well correct it now. That's
no, we have
not. You want us to table and let you have time to take a look at that? Because we're approving next month. I mean, we could do it tonight, but
that's fine. That'd be good.
I mean, that's rather than you have to come back again. I mean,
right. Rather than having to pay and submit another application, I'd like to give you guys the opportunity to review that.
And then if you can get, obviously, what Doug talked about on the 7W on that.
Again, I've been in that, the 7W, this one, Kyle,
it sure looks like what Doug's saying.
You can ask Kyle. We're familiar with this one because of the Jones Acre system to the north. That was a lot of fun. So whenever this came up, I feel very strongly that whoever drew this in digitally just drew it in the wrong spot.
So
we had our land people dig deeper, and Matt and I both got a copy of the plat today, and I think it'll solve this problem.
Yeah.
Okay.
The other 114, can we go to that? Is that a right-of-way where the purple line's coming down are?
Yeah, it's an easement.
It is not a right-of-way. It is mainly, until you see where the blue line curves there, the water line right there, it's an easement all the way down there. That's on property.
I didn't know with those lots on both sides of that purple line, that wasn't a right-of-way or a
private no, it looks
road
like
or anything?
I don't know what that is.
You ask that question again, maybe I could answer it.
It looks like there's lots that front that purple line on both to the east and west of it.
Is that a road?
It is. There may be lots there, but it's owned by one landowner.
Okay.
This is an existing well outside of the CCN.
Yeah.
It has an easement to the CCN, but not a lease or property ownership.
Correct.
But what about the well, plant one?
I think it's just easements that connect it, correct?
I don't want to even say today. Let's just say
we're still hunting.
Okay.
Is this, Daryl, is this one of the systems that you guys acquired?
Oh, yeah.
Yep, yeah, that's what I thought.
I've seen the documents where we bought it today. I studied them. But I didn't see any good news on the land.
Okay.
Sometimes whatever the previous owner had, we bought it, we just got whatever they had.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to keep looking on that one.
Okay.
A question on 14. Does that landowner take water from y'all that owns this platted, or what appears to be platted, subdivided lots through that easement? I mean, does he purchase water from y'all, or does he have his own source?
It doesn't show a meter there, and so I'm going to say no. There's no triangle, yellow triangle there. And in fact, I was actually looking at that whole blue line, dog-legged going north there, doesn't have any connections on it as we show today, so I don't know if they disconnected and drilled their own wells or what.
Right.
So take a look at the one to see if you need to increase it. You provided the flat map for Doug, which may resolve the first one.
Right.
This one's still hung in limbo.
Yeah, I don't like our chances here.
Sorry.
I don't like our chances here, yeah.
Doug, I will just make a suggestion, and I just found this by accident.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't even studying this. I was studying another thing earlier this week, but if you and Brian can look at Title 16, Part 2, Chapter 24, Subchapter H, Rule 24.229, there is a provision for CCNs out a quarter mile outside.
Yep.
Okay, and which may you could apply to this.
And
I'm just offering as a suggestion.
No, and I was familiar with the quarter mile outside, and that's a question I don't know that Brian and I are going to have to talk about that.
But I wasn't studying this. I was on another project.
Right.
I just ran across this and just thought about that.
Yeah.
Quarter mile will take care of plant one, but not two. Just eyeballed.
So I think.
So we just want to go ahead and we'll table everything this week. Looks like two of them, or this month, and two of them next month, should be able to address.
Yeah. And so if we're going to continue it to.
Do we need to go ahead and establish the date? Since the public hearing, we need to establish the date.
So that's what exactly what I was about to say. So we had already talked about last month, the December meeting, we're going to schedule it for the 11th. Brian had mentioned that he would likely not be available our normal time. So if we could do it earlier in the day, it would work better for him. But that's. Again, up to you guys. I have 2 o'clock on here, but if we need to do normal time, I guess Brian can figure it out. I think he has.
Anybody have a problem with 2 o'clock on Thursday the 11th? That is a Thursday.
It's a Monday.
It's a Monday.
Remember, we moved that because I'd asked you guys to move it because the Thursday is my 20th anniversary. And I don't think my wife would like it if I was here on our 20th anniversary.
Seem to do that every time around that same time.
I want that.
His anniversary comes at the same time of the year. It
comes around the same time.
Yeah.
Dude,
how many of you had?
51 or 2. I don't know.
You better know.
I'm going to tell her next time I see her. You don't know.
Yeah. I'm going to message her before you get home.
Say the 11th at
2 o'clock.
2 o'clock.
That work? I'll make it work for me.
I'm going on a cruise about 15th.
You don't know when you're leaving on a cruise?
I said I don't think I'm leaving until like the 15th. But I don't know exactly.
What about your question? But that's
okay. He's answered my question twice, hasn't he? Chair would entertain a motion to table the hearings on these three applications until Monday, December 11th at 2 p.m. when we'll meet here in our offices.
I so move.
Motion by Director Nave. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Second by Director Micah, who doesn't know when it's, how many anniversaries he's had. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
Is that discussions about this motion or is member?
It was open. It was an open-ended offer, and you did not take it, so you're out of luck. And show that the public hearing closes at 5:17. Move into our regular agenda, consent agenda, which is normal and non-controversial items. Any board member can pull anything off this agenda to be addressed individually. This month it includes minutes from the regular board meeting of public hearing on October 19th, bank statement ending October 31st, payment of bills and invoices received through December or through November 16th, reimbursement for expenses incurred on behalf of the district through November 16th, and approval of requests for extension applications submitted through November 16th. Chair, entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I make that motion.
Motion by Director Micah. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second by Director Watts. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Item two is moot. Item three, discussion regarding the following potential violations of district rules and take action as necessary. Well, ID 19732, owned by James Lee and drilled by Doug Kinsey in Wise County. And I do have a request to speak from Mr. Lee. Doug, we'll get to you after he presents us with the information.
Yes, sir. So in June, we received an application. It's marked as a domestic well, submitted by Alpha Omega as the driller, and Mr. James Lee was the owner. Well was located on FM 730, kind of northeast of Decatur, so northeastern part of the county. The application for the proposed water well indicated the well would be completed at an estimated depth of 200 feet, the one horsepower pump, and a maximum production capacity of 10 gallons a minute. Doug Kinsey with Alpha Omega is the licensed driller, and the application was approved on June 5th. I just want to point out, shown here, sections from the application indicated 10 gallons a minute, one horsepower pump, signed by Mr. Kinsey, stating that they would abide by all district rules, yada, yada, yada. On October 16th, we received two new well applications marked as domestic for Mr. Lee, also submitted by Alpha Omega. Staff visited the property to mark the locations. Staff noted that there were two recently constructed baseball fields on the property. And then it noted that the previously approved well, 19732, had been drilled. And you can see down here a 5-horsepower pump had been installed. That was actually Dawson that went to check that out. Blaine went back up there, I think, that next day. Flow tested it. That well made 33 gallons a minute at the time. So again, rule 2.9 states, so it's over 17.36 gallons a minute. Commercial well use, it's not domestic, it's used for irrigation of a baseball field. So rule 2.9 describes what the types of well for which an operating permit is required. Rule 8.1 talks about the requirement for a meter for those wells that permit is required. Well, the application for the well indicated the well would be used for domestic purposes. You can see here where it's marked domestic. It's obviously signed by the owner saying the certified information provided herein is true and accurate. And then rule 3.1 talks about the finding false information provided on an application could end up in the immediate revocation of the permit or registration. So the other issues, because it's a 33-gallon a minute well, supposed to be 250 foot from all property lines. It's not. It's like 190 something feet from this property line. So at the 30 to 50 gallon a minute range where it's currently producing, it fails to meet spacing requirements as well. Meets well the well spacing. This is one of the new wells, correct? So it's not actually drilled. So it still meets well the well spacing, but it does not meet property line spacing. So I've got a long list of stuff on here of potential violations. I would say I spoke with Mr. Lee. I honestly don't believe there was anything malicious. I think, you know, I'm not saying throw anybody in the bus. I think he trusted somebody that filled something out. He signed it, submitted it. I think he always, his intentions, the way the well is being used was always his intention. That just didn't get put on the application. Again, I having no reason to believe otherwise, after I spoke with him, it seemed that that was his intent. He just, you know, signed the application, didn't note that it was marked as domestic. I also don't believe that a tremendous amount of water or very much at all has been used. It's hooked up to a generator. I think they probably did that for probably to pump some, do some pump test, maybe to, just to produce the well. But I've got a list of the potential multiple violations that could be there. Everything from first major for submitting inaccurate or untruthful information, first major for failure to timely meter, or second major, third major for failure to permit a well. And then I've got also a recommendation to offer a settlement to the driller for failure to for violation of minimum well spacing. As you can see, I've got recommendations up here. This is in line, very similar to the one we did last month in Monte County, where the gentleman had drilled the well and was using it for commercial purposes. I feel it's a little bit different circumstances. I mean, same situation, but I feel it's maybe the intent was a little bit different. So I wouldn't have a problem if y'all came down from the penalties a little bit, but I would stick by the agreement for the ongoing measurement of water levels in the well. I mean, it's a great opportunity for us to get another monitor well. And then a requirement to either alter the well to produce less than 17.36 or submit an administratively complete application, for a major alteration to keep it at a larger size and an operating permit application. And then we have to cease production from the well until that's approved.
Couple of questions. He's got two other well applications for the same property?
Correct.
For the same purposes?
Correct.
And he can meet the spacing requirements?
The way those applications are submitted, right? So because those applications are also submitted as 1 horsepower pump, 10 gallon a minute wells. Their intent is actually to produce a larger well, then they would need to amend those applications.
They could go up to 17.3
right.
each one.
Right. And regardless, those wells can't be drilled until the operating permit's approved. Even if they reduce the capacity of the existing well to 17.36, it's the minute they drill the second well that brings the system up to above 17.36, so it's got to have an operating permit before they can drill that well.
Where it says pump motor size and he has a digit of 1 is there, is that 1 horsepower?
Correct.
It didn't indicate that. Was that
correct?
Normally customary, Tim?
Yeah, for domestic wells, it's 1 or 1.5 is what we usually see.
For a 10 gallon well, 1 horse. Okay. And the reason I'm asking that is the driller has the application in front of him, says 10 gallons and 1 horse, and he puts a 5 horse. It's 33.
Right.
He knew.
Right.
Did he?
Somebody knew.
Did he clear the well after he submitted it? Did he come back and get his deposit?
I believe they did. I believe, Lena, do you know if that was submitted? They got their deposit back, correct? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure they did.
And do they have to testify at that time if they did the well, or they would at that time be required to tell us if they did something other than what they did?
No, they just have to notify us that the well's drilled and provide us with a copy of the state well report or the state well report number.
What's the state well report show?
I haven't looked at it.
Would you look it up just out of curiosity? I'd like to know what size.
I can find it real quick if my internet will work.
And, you know, this, if they do something other than what they say, they're supposed to put in notification for that, correct?
So usually on the state well reports, and you'll see here, so when it actually says production, when they put the gallons per minute, it's usually when they're jetting it. So it's not the actual final production of the well, like what it actually makes.
Referring to, he said he's going to put a one horse in.
They don't put the motor size on the state well report.
Our rules, are they supposed to, they have a major change they're supposed to
do? Yes, correct. It's called a major alteration.
That would have been a major alteration from what he said he was going to do.
Right. Yeah. Say so this just says they jetted it at 20 gallons a minute. It's just a well test. So you can't really take that as what the well's final, because right, that's just they're jetting it during completion, right?
Mr. Lee, you're welcome to step up here. For the record, introduce yourself, because Ann's not here.
She's okay. The owner of the property where the two ball fields are.
Okay.
I can kind of help shed some light on some of the confusion, because the electric box for the well says 5 horsepower, but actually paid for a 3 horsepower, and they went from the 1 horsepower due to back pressure. That's why I was surprised when they got 33 gallons a minute, because we're running everything on a pressurized system. We didn't have a separate pump station set up like we're going to go to. So we were only getting like 18, 19 gallons a minute. So that's why he upsized it to 3 horsepower, and he amended it at that point. But I've always been honest that it's always going to be a baseball field, and we understand that we made a mistake. So we're here to take our licks and keep going. I just need to know guidance on what to do, because I didn't get the proper guidance from the beginning. And in the process of, I will close the property back behind this January 3rd, and he has a water well like 20 foot off the property line because it got segregated before I initially bought it. It was right. 66 acres. So,
right.
You know when that was segregated by chance?
I won't have a property line issue. I'd have to bring them together though and plant them together.
Okay.
Replant them.
Yeah, because there's an old well right there at that.
Right. And so you're saying.
Question, is this charging open ended? Out of the well.
When they did it, it was 33. Ours is under 20. That's why he put a bigger horsepower.
Was it under pressure?
Was it under pressure
when you tested it? Was it just open ended out of the well?
I asked. It was free flowing.
Okay.
So it's designed against pump against a bladder tank with a distance pressure.
Right. So you're saying that this here, this is your property now?
Yeah, we're going to close in on the 3rd. He's got
some
issues with tax.
So, and you don't have to replat it. Just owning it makes that line go away.
We started paperwork, actually.
Okay, you did.
Yeah, he hit me up Friday about buying the place. So, okay. And there's a well just 20 foot off the property line from it. That's what confused me about the property line thing.
Interesting. Well, that means that was drilled before we were in existence. So we came 2009 is when our rules went in place.
2009. So anything just drilled before that, then. It's grandfathered.
I didn't know about the operating permit, but
right.
It would make my life easier.
And so what the process would be, Mr. Lee, and I think we briefly talked about this when we talked, you would just need to submit an application for an operating permit. We'll get that scheduled in January for the hearing. It's be pretty straightforward. It gives you an annual allocation of how much water you can produce based on your acreage, based on the depth of the wells or thickness of the aquifer. So we'll probably sit down and talk with you before then, so you can know before you move forward with the other wells, because you may just want to drill one bigger well versus two smaller size ones. So we can talk about that. But that's regardless of any penalties, that has to happen, right? I mean, he's got to get that operating permit before he can drill another well or continue production from the existing well. And we can get that, as long as we get that application in the next month, but before middle of December, we can get it scheduled for January.
That's possible.
Yep.
We're really trying to get the grass down, but
right.
Can I use the well that I'm going to be buying?
They're going to be buying?
No, because it would still be part of your system.
What happens? You've got more than one well involved in this, so it becomes a system, and
right?
That kicks off
property.
Yeah, right. But it's still part of.
Again, if you're using it, if it's on your property, it's contiguous, same consumptive use. It's part of the same system, right? So then, because if that system can make more than 17.36 gallons per minute, that system requires an operating permit. And so you can't use it until you have that permit in hand.
Operating permit, meters on it.
Yeah. Now, long term, you can use that, that well that's on that property for sure. Definitely can use that.
So.
And you would just want to include that on the operating permit so that it's included on there, right?
And purchasing that other property in the north will cure the setback.
Correct.
Violation.
Correct. So then he could, in fact, I mean, it doesn't, again, the setback violation, the spacing violation, I've recommended going to the driller. And it's still in place because it happened, right? But as far as, you know, moving forward, yes, he would then be able to have the 30 gallon a minute well without an exception. And again, we'll have a meeting. We require pre-application meetings before operating permits where we go through, like me and Kyle will sit down with you and we'll go through everything that needs to be done. So.
Anything else? Board have any other questions?
What about that other well? Do we need to get it registered?
He'll have to if he wants to include it on the permit.
Another one he spotted.
Yes. Yes. If he wants it on the permit, he'll have to register. It's a
property, right?
Existing well registrations. There's no cost to that. I mean, it's just a submitting paper. So if you want to use it and put it on the permit, you'll have to submit an existing well application for that.
Got it. Anything else for me?
You're built like a pitcher.
You throw the ball?
Yeah, and I coach my kid. We're just trying to get them ready for high school, and we're going to take on the Canes organization there eventually for our boys because they don't have about a 200-foot field, so that was the whole point.
Well, whereas the Canes are there on 287.
Mm-hmm.
They're at the ranch, right?
Yep, and Connor's going to bring the boys over there and use the fields during the spring if we can get it going because they won't have any. We've been renting everything from, like, Northwest and all that, so we like baseball, so what we do.
Family activity.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you.
What's the board's pleasure? You know, now I will point out just my opinion that Driller knew that he was putting in a larger pump than what was on the application.
Right. The second little paragraph down there for the settlement for the Driller, I feel pretty good about that. It's their second major violation. Technically, they've done more than that, but the other ones have fallen off because they fall off over time. But as far as the penalties for Mr. Lee, I don't have an issue if the board chooses to reduce those. I would recommend reducing them. But it's up to you guys.
I'd be in favor. I mean, you know, we look at culpability.
Right.
Screwed up.
Right.
$50 fine, $100 fine.
I would recommend more than that, but that's up to you guys. I cut what I put up there in half. I'd be okay with that. I don't, the big one is I get what you're saying, Mike. The big one, at least in my opinion, is the number six or number five, failure to permit a well that does not qualify for an exemption. And that one alone would be the reason why, I think there's got to be some penalty there. I mean, I get it, right? I don't think there was any ill intent, but.
I don't think he's making big bucks.
I do not either. But he's still producing. I mean, he's going to be able to produce a decent amount of groundwater, and whether or not they're making money off of it doesn't really matter when it comes to the conservation of groundwater.
Do we need separate motions for the owner and the driller?
Yeah, that's why I put it up here as two separate motions.
Is there a possibility it's in compliance with the pumping against the pressurized system as it's equipped?
I doubt that very seriously.
Yeah, I'd make a motion. We accept the recommendation of the GM as to item number one, item number three, and that in lieu of a penalty for $1,750, the penalty is $250.
So
the other provisions.
How about this? How about we strike number two, strike number four, and change number six to 250?
Okay.
That accomplishes what you just said.
Yeah, the numbers are the same.
And then, but the violations are still there. That way, if something else happens long term, it's right. Yep.
Does that help you not set a precedent?
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Not here a second.
Well, wait. Do we have the monitoring the well?
Yes.
Yeah, the monitor is in there.
So keep everything else. Strike number two, strike number four, change number six to 250, and everything else stays.
Right there. This one. Number seven.
Seven.
Requirement. Oh, the ongoing. I was looking for the word monitor. Yeah. Do you know what that means, sir, to monitor your well?
It allows us to check the water levels in the well quarterly.
It's very invasive. They show up a few times a year and they stick a line down there and measure it. And it's beneficial to you because you want to know what the water level is. So we're going to impose that upon you.
No, we're going to. The people in the back row.
The guy in all the denim back here is going to go do it.
Yeah. But it allows us to track what's happening with the aquifers throughout our district. And
it'll be beneficial to you.
So, I had a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Doug, we need to go back.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. Second part.
Yeah.
I'd make a second motion with the general manager regarding the well driller. General manager's recommendation.
Would you entertain increasing the penalty to $1,000?
You trying to make up what we didn't do last time?
No. Because Mike and I have been here, and this is not an uncommon appearance.
What's the range on the second major violation?
Up to 5,000.
No, I didn't go the limit.
With the one reviso that we would take item two to 1,000 penalty instead of 500.
Do I hear a second?
I'll second that one.
Second by Director Lusk. Motion by Director Nave. Second by Director Lusk. I keep forgetting Ann's not here. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Lee. Ms. Lee. Get with staff and they'll walk you through the process.
Just give us a holler.
Yep. Thank you. Item 3B, two unregistered wells located at 951 Farm to Market Road, 2264 in Decatur, owned by Antler Creek Capital LLC in Wise County. Doug?
Right. This one came up. It's across from an existing aqua system. They're kind of east of Decatur. Came up because, well, it's a tiny home community, and we were kind of curious where they were getting their water. Blaine went out there and looked, found two existing wells, old existing wells. You can look at satellite imagery going back to the 90s. I think there used to be an RV park there, and then it was just an empty field for 20 years, and now there's tiny homes there and some duplexes. We did find out from the owner that they're actually getting water from Aqua Texas for a public water supply. But they are, as needed, using those two wells for irrigation and other use. I don't think that you use the wells a lot. You can see here's the tiny homes. The one well made just under 12 gallons a minute. Another one made about almost 14. So together it comes up to more than 17.36, obviously. Pictures, they're all tied together going in, coming out of the tanks. And again, under pressure, they're making that, so they're probably going to be making more if they were open flow. Without going through all these, well, I've got all the rules, and I'll go through them if you want to hear all the rules written out. But here are the potential violations. If failure to register wells that are required to be registered two times, because any well that's non-exempt, they have to register it. Failure to submit accurate groundwater production reports within the required period, that's 14 times, because technically they should have been reporting every reporting period since January 1st, 2020. Failure to submit groundwater use fees within 60 days, 14 times. Failure to permit a well system that does not qualify for an exemption from permitting. Again, I don't think this one was malicious either. I think these folks, I actually talked to this gentleman years ago before he developed, and I actually had, and during that discussion, because I think y'all just drilled some new wells across the road, Matt for Aqua had, right. And during that discussion, I told him, I was like, you know, that's going to be a public water system. You might want to approach Aqua, see if they'll just sell you water rather than putting in public water system. And I went out on the road, hadn't thought about it again since. So I think very likely those folks, you know, the owners, hey, there's some wells here. Let's just use them. They didn't call us and ask if they could use them and ask if they needed to ask us if they could use them. But I think that's probably what happened. Again, I don't think it's terribly malicious. So I have put forth penalties here. Y'all can do as y'all see fit. We can do similar to what we did last time about the penalty fees, but I would recommend keeping all the violations there.
I did talk to them years ago about this before they moved forward.
Right. Well, we didn't talk to them specifically about using the wells for – I'm trying to think back. This is like, you know, 2018, 5 years ago or so. I remember talking to him about this. I remember saying, you know, if you're going to put in these tiny homes, if you go more than 14 connections, it's a public water system, and that can be cumbersome. You may just want to talk to the public water system right across the street. I remember that. I vaguely remember him saying something about an existing well. Obviously, I would have told him if you're using it, if it makes more than this, it's got to be, you know, metered, all that. I can't guarantee we had that conversation. If it came up, I guarantee we had it, but I don't know that it came up.
Say how many houses are there right now?
Total connections are it's 18. I think there's 12 tiny homes and
3 duplexes.
Yeah, 20 connections. But they're getting water from Aqua, so that's, you know.
Yeah, he just tied on the Aqua and those wells were there. Like, well, we're just going to use those to irrigate.
Right.
Never thought anything about it. And then he looked at them and saw they're not exempt, and he didn't know that putting them together into the irrigation system would make them a
right
system. So right. I know exactly what happened.
That's pretty much probably exactly what happened. And
so his going forward, if he wants to use those wells,
that's getting operating.
It's either reduce capacity,
right,
or get an operating permit,
right. And it may be easier for them, and as little as they're using them, to just cut one of the wells off and just use one. Blaine, there was a meter on. But it was one after they were tied to, yeah. So that, there was only like 700,000 gallons on it. And I wouldn't surprise me if that's literally all they've used, 700,000 gallons. There's not a lot of grass out there for them to irrigate.
14 reporting periods.
Yeah. Yeah. I doubt very seriously they used very much water. Maybe they used more than that and they put the meter on later. Maybe they used it for some construction, but. Right. It would. Right. Sure would. Right. So, again, I don't think it's malicious. I'd recommend coming down to, you know, maybe $500 total for the penalty and leave everything else.
Are they aware that we'd be discussing this tonight?
Yes, correct.
Yes. Yeah, I know. And they opted not to come, as far as we know.
Yeah, I provided them a link to the meeting, you know, when it was, something like that.
And popped up in the chat.
Nah, nobody else is on. We've got Ann and Brian. That's the only people listening online. We usually have quite a few people online.
Okay, that said, so actually he could keep the two wells, put a valve, an 8-inch sanitary gap between whichever two zones. He may want to split the zones and water half.
Right. Well, that would still require a permit.
If he has capacity.
Over. Right. Because we made it to where it's not tied together. It's common consumptive use. So irrigation or use for commercial purposes on the property.
Restrict.
So
the total to slow 17.
Right. So he could keep both wells and get an operating permit. He could keep one well, not get a permit. So he's got a lot. I mean, there's options. As little water as they've been using, I don't think it's either one would work for him probably.
What's the board's pleasure?
I'll make a motion that we accept the general manager's recommendation, except for the items 2 and 4. We would strike number 6. We would cut to a $500 penalty.
Okay.
The cease. 7's okay. 8's.
The rest of it stuff. The rest of it stuff they should have done.
Yeah.
Right.
So, strike 2, strike 4, cut 6 to 500.
And what's your way? He goes in 11 can cure his situation.
Yep. And we'll work with him and tell him what he has to do.
Second by Director Nave. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item 5, discussion regarding the proposed 2024 budget and allocation of district funds, including but not limited to the adoption of Resolution 23-008. Adopting a budget for 2024 and resolution 23-09, allocation of funds for the district. Take necessary action. Doug?
Yes, sir. I've sent out draft budget. We briefly discussed it last month. Sent it back out. Talked to Don briefly. Made a few minor tweaks since y'all saw it last time. Don't even remember what it was. I think I moved like $5,000 from one line item to another in the administrative section under the office expenses. Total expenses in the proposed budget come to $2,061,900. Total income, $2,082,700. And then the second resolution is assignment of funds. And this just takes basically everything we've got set aside and savings, you know, right, and investments, and assigns it to, you know, operating, legal, monitor well drilling, rainwater harvesting grant programs, that kind of thing. I don't have my recommendations to approve it as presented. I've got, if y'all want to look through the budget and discuss it, I've got that ready and put it up on the screen. Happy to answer any questions.
We will probably have some funds about April that may add to somebody assigned or committed, correct?
Correct.
Once we get SA.
Right. Right. Usually we do it at the end of the year. And we can do it mid-year if we need to, if we have to draw down, but usually it's the end of the year. We take a look and reassess what those investments are.
The only comment I've heard from board members is a minor item that can probably be handled within the budget. So.
Right.
I talked to Jill on possible additions to the education fund.
Right.
Chair would entertain a motion to approve the proposed budget and adopt Resolution 23-008 and 23-009.
I'll make that motion.
Motion by Director Reynolds. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Second by Director Micah. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Let me start signing stuff. Item 5, discussion regarding the dates for the Board of Directors meetings and the district holiday schedule for 2024 and take necessary action. And our companion counties went different directions this time, didn't
they? Right. And so historically, and for those of you guys that haven't been on the board as long, historically, because our office is in Parker County, we've always adopted Parker County's holiday schedule. However, staff pointed out to me that this year, and then after looking, also next year, Parker County is only giving their staff one day off for Christmas. They're only giving them Christmas Day off. They're not giving them a day off for Christmas Eve. So I went and looked at the holiday schedules for all four counties. And they vary. Hood County is actually giving 15 holidays over this period. Parker 13, and then Monte 13 and Wise 14. So I kind of looked at what all four of our counties are doing and kind of came up with something that's basically Parker County's, and it's right here. But I added one more day to Christmas Eve for a 14-day total. That would be my recommendation, is to adopt this holiday schedule, which is, like I said, it is Parker County's holiday schedule with the addition of Christmas Eve. I would also recommend, because as an oversight for this year, by adopting Parker County's holiday schedule, all the other counties are giving a day off in observance of Christmas Eve, and we're not. So I would ask that the board authorize us to close on Friday, December 2nd for Christmas Eve in observance of Christmas Eve.
December 22nd.
December 22nd. Yes, sorry. So that's my proposal on the holidays, on the meeting dates. Third Thursday of every month, with the exception of December. I moved it to the second Thursday to keep it from getting so close to the holidays. That's this year. Look down here with this
one. Oh, okay.
This year.
That's Christmas. This will be in lieu of the Christmas Eve thing.
Right, right. Yeah, because next year Christmas Eve is during the week, so I have it on here. This year it's on the weekend, and staff basically gets a 3-day weekend for Christmas. You know, that's
okay. All right,
so I'm recommending that you authorize us to close on Friday, so we have a 4-day weekend. It's pretty dead around here anyway. Nobody calls.
I was going to say Friday's the most productive day of the week. I just don't know. In your office?
This guy's office doesn't open till noon.
You're going to basketball games this time of the year on Fridays. I know what you're doing.
I'd make a motion that we accept the recommendation of the GM as set forth on.
Right, for holidays and directors' meetings for next year. With the addition of
with the addition of
Friday the 22nd this year. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second by Director Nave. Any further discussion?
All in favor? He's not putting his anniversary on this.
There was an adjustment in there, but it actually gets away from the holiday. So.
What day is your anniversary?
14th. December 14th.
Hey, so is mine.
Awesome.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
You want to know why we got married on December 14th?
Yeah, I do.
My wife graduated from college on December 13th, and her mom said we can't get married until she graduates.
Oh, that's perfect.
I thought he was going
to. Want to know why?
Her family was also in town from Arizona, too. But
you want to know why I got married on December 14th?
What's that?
Because my bookkeeper said we could write off everything with the wedding except the dress if we did it before the 31st.
Right.
There you go. Yeah, married on a Sunday.
moving along.
Can we go back a couple of slides?
Sure.
The budget items. Sorry. So we have 24008 and 23009. Was that?
No, that's supposed to be 23. Okay. The resolution should say 23 at the top. That's a typo. The
resolution here does, but this every time you brought it up,
right?
8 has a 24 and
right.
9 has an
08. Your general manager just copy and pasted, put a typo here, and he copy and pasted to here. So.
Well, it's twice on that page. So.
Yeah. Well, it's because this is just copied. This whole slide is copied. And
he's in his proofreading mode
today. Yeah, I see that.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
I think we just voted. Which one?
I like your reason better than mine.
I'm going to move along to item six.
Excellent.
Consider approval of interlocal agreement template for the district to enter into with county and municipal planning authorities located in the district. I'm going to leave this over to Doug. That's all one long sentence.
Yeah. Who do you think wrote that?
Yeah.
Our attorney wrote that. I wanted to make sure I got it just right. Yeah. Senate Bill 2440 passed this last session, signed this summer by the governor, requires all counties and municipal planning authorities to require a groundwater study. We've talked about and met with counties from all representatives from all four counties about reviewing that, entering into an interlocal agreement to review the groundwater studies for them. Parker County actually met Monday and approved it, and I've got a signed copy of the interlocal agreement from Parker County. If y'all authorize me to execute it, then I'll execute that and we'll be in an agreement with them. Wise County has indicated they updated their subdivision rules the other day, and as part of that, they've basically said publicly they're going to approve this and sign this. So I know for a fact Wise and Parker will be entering into this with us. Montague, you're more familiar with them than you've talked to them a lot.
I'll find out tomorrow where they are.
Okay. And then Hood County, Commissioner Eagle was here, met with him, went down, met with Commissioner Wilson about something else, and their county attorney, Matt Mills, and presented it to them, but I have not heard anything back from them.
Were they receptive?
They seem like it. Yeah, conversations, they seem like they're receptive, but I have not heard anything back. I've told them, if they have other questions, they want me to come down for court and answer any questions, I'd be happy to do so, but I have not heard from them. So. But what I'm asking for, or my recommendation, if you want to go through it, to summarize the agreement, we would collect a $1,500 fee for reviewing the studies. We would guide the developer through the process. We'd be on site to calibrate any equipment being used during the pump test. We would log any wells drilled for the study. Then we would assess whether then once the study's done and submitted, we would assess whether or not all the requirements are met for the GAC. We would verify the information. We would then model. We're going to model basically probably three scenarios. We'll model the scenario their engineer used, and then based on the gallons per well per day, we'll model a high end water use and we'll model a low end water use. We'll put together a report, submit that report to the county, and that's go from there.
If you determine that there's not adequate water,
it's not our decision to make.
Well, realistically.
Realistically,
you're going to put in 1,000 homes and there's not enough water.
If we would, say,
well,
I would hope if I would hope that a licensed engineer, a licensed geoscientist, in their review would actually say that this probably isn't good, and we're going to verify that. But we would probably say it's likely there going to be problems in the future, and then it's up to the commissioner's court to do what they want with it.
The best case scenario is their engineers come in, do a quality job, and our staff just checks their math and comes back and says, yes, what they said is correct.
But what happens, so what you're saying then is the ultimate decision is by the county commissioner.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's also with the developer. And
right. So think of it this
way. Let me try. If they're doing 1 acre development with the public water, if they're doing water wells in 2 acre development and there's not insufficient water to meet the needs at 2 acres, but there's sufficient water to meet it at 2.5 or 3 acres, the developer can then come back and rechange his plat and adjust for that. So that would be one possible way to address it.
Right. We have no way. Think of it this
way. That's their decision, not ours.
Think of it this way, Mike. Right now, you've got all these counties, municipalities. They're going to get these studies. They don't have anybody on staff that knows what any of them mean, right? And the way the TCEQ rules are written, basically they submit you this form. It's just a bunch of yes, no's, and then a bunch of raw data. And for most folks, it means nothing. They look at it as just gobbledygook, right? So rather than the county
or the municipality going out and hiring an engineering firm to review them for them. We're going to review them for them. And if the results come back saying, hey, there's going to be problems here, well, it's still up to the county to decide what they want to do. But now, rather than this nebulous form that nobody can make sense of, there's now part of public record, a very well put together report that anybody's going to be able to make sense out of. So any landowner or any prospective buyer is going to be able to look at that and say, oh, here's this report that says there could be some issues here.
Can that report be filed with the deed records?
It will probably be permanent records with, I don't know if it'll be filed with the deed records, but it'll be referenced on the face of the plat, which is filed with deed records.
You can file anything.
We can.
Nowadays, is it possible for it to be filed? Because it does create more responsibility for
right.
the developer if it's a public record.
Right. And so that's something I hadn't really thought about that, Mike, but I think we could easily work with the counties. If the counties are going to file it as deed record, I would let them do it. If they're not, we can file it.
It probably will be included.
Yes.
The five counties I've covered, it would be included in the agenda packet for the commissioner's court, which is part of their permanent record under commissioner court minutes, not with the deeds.
Right.
But at that point, it is.
But you could file it with the county clerk. The district could even go in and file it.
The last place someone would look is with
their
commissioner's
right.
court. The first place they'll look is
deed records.
Deed records,
right.
County records.
Right.
So is it possible to put that in this process
mm-hmm.
so that it is done?
Right.
It's notice to the world we got a problem.
Right. Yeah, and that's the whole point of this. You know, in background, Mike, this came up because and out around Lubbock and Senator Charles Perry, who's the committee chair for the Senate Committee on Water, Ag, and Rural Affairs, had an issue kind of like we've had around here where they subdivided some properties and drilled some dry holes. And so he filed the bill, got passed. And for the intent is just to make more information available to prospective homebuyers. And I don't think it's any issue at all. Like I said, what I would do is I'd visit with the counties, ask them if they would file it. If they don't want to file the reports, then we can go ahead and file it with the county clerk. That way it's there.
One of the things I was asking Doug with this and for us to do it is we have the expertise. We'll be a backstop to the county. And an additional thing beyond this I've asked Doug to look into is to write a criteria that we can provide to the counties so that they can adopt that criteria for
yep.
groundwater availability studies, groundwater availability certificates. So it's not just the TCQ form,
right?
But it's what we're suggesting they do. They can adopt it or not. But then our report will say, this is what your groundwater availability certificate your developer is turning in means.
Right.
And these are our findings. And it just goes a long ways beyond what they have. I've seen this county staff, they do what they do well, but they're now being asked to do something they have no expertise in.
And we right.
And currently, at least I know in Monte County, there are subdivision rules. The preliminary plat's filed. It's sent to a PE to review to see if it's meeting their size requirements, road requirements, septic and drainage. But he's going to throw up his hands on the hydrology in most cases.
And Parker County doesn't do that much.
Right.
Monte County's revised there since Parker County did. I think that's part of
so,
it.
And another benefit of this, it's all four counties are pretty, seemed, at least in discussions, seemed receptive. And it's already, it's creating a very good opportunity for us to work with the county and build relationships. I mean, I've already got a great relationship with most of the counties, but it's working in that direction and helping them form them. Like I said, they're, I don't know. I think it's a great idea. It's a great bill that passed. It's something that needed to happen. And it's right up. This is what we do, right? This is what our specialty is. So
we've got all these geeks back here that get to play and
right.
exercise their brains. What they're trained to do.
Right.
Are we going to set up a means where we can track our hours on each individual one?
Yeah,
we're both in the field and in the office.
We're going to have to do a cost analysis for the first six to nine months.
Right. To make sure it's good. I intend to do that, Shannon.
So, and it may be a case of over a period of 2 or 3 years that actually starts leveling out and not being so intense.
Right.
As we learn and the developers learn.
Right. Right. And so I've got my recommendation, and because this isn't just the counties, any municipality could also enter into this agreement with us. I know a few municipalities in Wise County that I've talked to have already indicated, some of those that have large ETJs that they don't have public water supply out in the ETJ, they've already basically said they would love to enter into an agreement with this as well. So I've actually, Brian has actually helped us prepare two separate agreements. They're almost identical, except they just reference different sections of the government code because municipalities operate under what, one's 212 and one's 232, I believe. So it's we've got both of them. So my recommendation is to approve the interlocal agreement and authorize me to execute them with any platting authority in the district.
Any other questions?
I've got a question. Can we go back one slide?
Yes, sir.
On that last sentence, prepare written before to the platting authority with a non-binding recommendation. We know the recommendation is going to be solid, but they don't have to follow it. But you get years down the road, if there's an issue, they can come back to that recommendation.
Right.
And we're covered, or is that kind of what you're thinking of?
Right. Well, and that's the thing is, you know, you want to, any kind of report you want to, and it's not going to be like a hard, you should do this recommendation, but we'll work with legal counsel to make sure we're doing something that's on the up and up, but kind of exactly what you're saying. Yes.
If that platting entity is a little bitty town and they decide not to follow that recommendation,
right,
it sits on their shoulders.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And Bob, what's really important from a litigation point of view, it gives a homeowner who, you know, spends $400,000 for a house and doesn't have water, he's got a very good legal proceeding because the world was put on notice.
And that's where you were going, talking about being sure it's filed a record.
You know, I'm sorry, I'm just thinking about,
yep,
you know, the litigation that arises downstream will help cure some of the corners that are cut today.
Right.
And that's why I would like for us to do whatever we can to ensure our recommendation is recorded.
Yep. Yeah, we will. I'll make sure it gets recorded.
Okay.
One way or the other, either us filing it or the county or platting entity. I'll make sure it gets recorded.
Anything else from anybody? Heard general manager's recommendation. Chair would entertain a motion.
I'll make that motion.
Motion by Director Berkeley. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second by Director Nave. He beat you to it. No. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Well,
item
done.
Seven, another one written by the attorney.
Yeah.
Resolution 23-010, which helps us meet some certain statutory requirements that take effect before we can get all the paperwork done.
Right.
Is that a summation?
Yes, I will. That's exactly right. There's one bill in particular, HB 2443, required GCDs to update rules prior to December 1. Just because of everything going on, because of all the other little minor updates that we've been kind of keeping list of that we need to tweak in our rules, there wasn't time to get the draft done and published in time for notice. So what Brian has recommended is rather than go ahead and rush through amending rules, he put together a resolution that will temporarily implement the recently passed and then signed by the governor legislation that affects districts that we do have to, that we have no choice. We have to update our rules to get that stuff in. So one of them is 2443. That basically
authorizes, it puts in there in Chapter 36 and in district rules, a process for a landowner with a right to legal right to groundwater to petition the districts to change a particular rule on a form created by the districts, and outlines all the stuff they have to do. And then House Bill 1971 amended several provisions of the Water Code, talking about procedures for acting on permits and permit amendments. Senate Bill 1746. This one, we've got to get in our rules, but it doesn't apply to us. Tim, you may be more familiar with this. It's a requirement to exempt from permitting a temporary well that is used during the drilling process of another water well. So in places in the state where they're drilling 1,000 plus foot public water supply wells, rather than hauling water in for the drilling process, they'll drill a small shallow well to provide water for the drilling. So Senate Bill 1746 exempts those wells from permitting. And like I said, it doesn't really apply to us, but we've got to update rules. The last thing that we're putting in there is that I kind of threw in there and I talked to Tracy about, and Tim mentioned this a long time ago. Brian put in some language that would authorize me at my discretion to make settlement offers for violations, right? So I'm not bringing every single little one back to you guys. All the regular ones that are easy, I can make an offer. Obviously, if it's something complicated, I'm going to put it on the agenda anyway. But right now, rules don't authorize me to make any settlement offer on a major violation, only minor violations.
Will we do that under the consent agenda?
Right.
So if a board member or there's a reason to pull one off for separate discussion.
Right. So the way it would happen was be after the fact, we put on the consent agenda and it'd be on there.
This is as we're doing with the several other things.
Right. And to show you why as land gets more and more subdivided in the district, how many did you find? Yeah. Just sitting at his desk looking on his map, Kyle found 15 violations in 3 hours. Most of these can be dealt with fairly easily. I mean, it's going to be, you know, fairly simple. I mean, I have a good understanding of what the board's going to authorize and approve, rather than dirtying up and having long agendas every month as we find these things. It authorizes me to make a settlement. If they don't accept the settlement, then it gets placed on the board agenda, right?
So. Right. Tracy?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't envision these being on a consent agenda. The idea is that if Doug wants to offer, because he's pretty comfortable with the simplicity of the violation, a settlement agreement that's consistent with the district's enforcement policy and civil penalty schedule, he can do that. And if that violator agrees to it, they don't have to, and we make that clear in the resolution, that they can wait and request that it be taken to the board instead. That if they enter the settlement agreement, that's it. So it doesn't ever have to tie up any board agenda.
Could you include that in your management report?
Right. We can do that.
Just in case the board decides to go a different direction on you without telling you.
Right.
Any other questions? If not, Chair would entertain a motion to adopt Resolution 23-010.
I'll make the motion.
Motion by Director Reynolds. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second by Director Watts. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Doug, anything out of the manager's report? You want to give a report on yesterday a little bit?
Yeah, so yesterday, about a month and a half ago, Wise County Judge Clark called me and asked, he's like, think it'd be a good idea if we had a Wise County Water Summit? I was like, I think so. I think it'd be a great idea. So he'd asked me if I knew of some good folks. So I reached out to people I know, and we end up having a mostly all day summit from 9 to about 3 yesterday. Brian came up to speak. I spoke. Abby with Friesen Nichols spoke about the water study we did. folks from Tarrant Regional Water District, folks from the Upper Trinity Regional Water District out of Denton County, which brings water from Lake Ralph Hall, which they the most newly constructed reservoir. And then folks from the Texas Water Development Board were all there to talk. Basically, it was a meeting that the judge had invited mostly elected officials and leadership from cities, water entities within the county. There were a couple other folks in there. There's a few developer types, but it was basically county leadership. It was a really good, really well attended event. I thought went really well. A lot of good information. I hope something we can do regularly and do more of within the district, because I think people are interested. So, but it went really well. Had both senator, all state representation for Wise County. Senator Tan Parker was there. He was there about half the day, and then state rep Stuckey, Dr. Stuckey, was there all day actually. So it was a good event.
Tom, were you able to attend?
No, because of my illness.
Yeah, Don and Brent were both going to be there, and they were both sick.
Okay. I was going to try to, but I was at a Region B meeting, right, which went almost 3 hours.
Sorry.
Maybe actually been productive in the long run. So.
You hungry?
There was food back there. You're
out of sign, Jay's friend.
We had no budget amendments this month?
No, we did not have any budget amendments this month. We'll do some cleanup next month.
All right.
Finish the year.
Yeah, end of the year cleanup. Yep. Ryan, you have anything other than the word that that Senator Springer is not running for reelection?
No, sir. I don't have much to report. There's not a whole lot going down here that relates to your business. Still monitoring some the TCQ for some of those rules packages that we've talked about before. But other than that, our work for the month's been covered in today's meeting already.
Okay. Thank you, Ryan. Our next meeting is on the 11th at 2. Obviously, if you have an agenda item you need to add to it, or we need to discuss, get a hold of Doug or myself and we'll put it on there. If not, and show we're still confusing me on the clock, Kyle. Show we're adjourned at 6:18.
I'm sorry, Tracy.
You and I agree. This is paid.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to
see, Ryan.
Notice. You got the invoice and paid for it.
Well, that's what I said.